Today in our scripture reading, we will have a glimpse of the church triumphant in heaven, which is a reminder of how different things are here in this life and the church militant in our imperfect world. And in order to demonstrate just how imperfect our world is, I thought it would be fitting to have a mistake in the bulletin on our last day. Our hymn today should be hymn number 35, not 65. We'll sing the first two verses of hymn 35 now at the beginning, and then the last two verses at the conclusion. Our scripture reading is taken from the revelation given to St. John, the seventh chapter, beginning with verse 9. And John here is permitted a vision of the glory of heaven. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A little over 10 years ago, there was a pilot in the Cuban Air Force who decided to defect. And so one day he took his jet and flew it across the waters into Florida and landed safely at an Air Force base in Florida and defected. He left behind his wife and children with the hope of someday being able to go back and rescue them as well from the poverty and difficulties of living in Cuba. His family, his wife and kids, were looking forward to that day for his return, not sure exactly when it was going to come. They had a sense and a feeling of love and unity with him, even though he was now in another country. They had to go through a lot of difficulty. They were now under a very watchful eye from the Cuban government. But sure enough, after about a year's time, this Cuban pilot was able to raise enough money in the United States to purchase a small plane that he worked this out with his family back there. He piloted back into Cuba one day and met them on a deserted highway and within just a minute's time landed the plane, had them get out of the car and get on the plane with him, and took off for the United States to bring them also to freedom. So here were these two portions of the family living, even though they were united together, living in completely different places, waiting for this great reunion. What a picture for us of the church of Christ. There are those who are already enjoying the glories of heaven, as we hear about in our text. And here we sit in this world with death in front of us and difficulty and sin and trouble and things that make us cry and so on. All the tragedies and trials of this life in the country that we're in right now is very oppressive. And yet, those whom we are united with through faith in Christ, those who are together with us, who are already in that great church triumphant in heaven, someday we look forward to being reunited with them. It's interesting to note in the text before us how the church triumphant, those believers in heaven, gather around the throne of the Lamb. This is the focal point of their attention and their worship. And really, that's identical to the church militant here in this world as well. We likewise are focused around the Lamb when we worship, even today as we gather. It's Christ that brings us together, the one who unites us. We're told about those in the church triumphant in heaven that they stand before the Lamb. What a beautiful picture again of that great Passover animal that had to be sacrificed. I always think what it was like for a child during that Passover night back in Egypt, living in slavery, and to help your dad pick out the one lamb that would be slaughtered now to spare your family's life. And as you packed up your things that night and left, and you could hear the crying in the other houses around you, how much you appreciated the blood of that dead lamb that's now been painted on your family's door so that the angel of death would pass over you. What great appreciation you would have for the life of that lamb that had been given. And we see that same appreciation more gloriously in the church triumphant in heaven. How clearly they get it. How clearly those in heaven understand that the Lamb had to die, and it was only by His blood that they could enjoy the freedom of heaven. We can have an appreciation for the doctrine of salvation by grace here in this life. And yet, we still sometimes wrestle with it. We still have this sinful nature in us that likes to kind of raise up how good we are and act as if somehow our righteousness or at least our faithfulness to God has something to do with the fact that someday we'll be in heaven. There's something in our sinful human nature that just rebels against the thought of salvation by grace. It's something we need to be reminded of over and over again. A gentleman that spoke here on Bethany's campus a number of years ago at the Reformation lectures, Dr. Oliver Olson, put it this way once, and I like this quotation. He says, "The feeling is basic in man that we object to the notion that God is entirely in charge of our salvation." It's basic in us to kind of object to that idea. For us to grasp it now in any way by faith, even though we still struggle with that, is a wonderful gift that it's all by God's grace. But we still sometimes find ourselves slipping back into self-righteous thinking. But if we grasp it at all in this life by faith, that it's the Lamb that has saved us, just think how much more clear that's going to be to us when we're finally in heaven. Just think how clear salvation through the Lamb alone is going to be when we're standing around His throne in heaven. In heaven, we're not going to have any questions about that. In heaven, we're not going to have any thoughts that will try to intrude on the doctrine of grace. It will all have to do with the Lamb and how obvious that will be. St. Paul says this for us: God has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son. Well, no wonder then that the throng around Christ's throne up in heaven is singing, "Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb." It has nothing to do with the church. It has everything to do with Christ. It has nothing to do with the works of the people of the church. It has everything to do with Christ. Salvation belongs to our God. Thank God. Because if it in any way, in any small way, belonged in any way to you or me, that would bring doubt and uncertainty about whether we're going to be in that throng someday. But salvation, thank God, belongs to our God and to His Lamb that He has provided. Grace alone, faith alone in Christ, through His Word alone, in Christ alone. The church triumphant gets it, and even the church militant in this life gets it. And so that the church militant, those of us who are believers in Christ here in this life, we likewise gather around this Lamb in our worship. All of our focus is on Him and what He has accomplished for us. And I think of that every time we go through the communion liturgy and we sing that beautiful preface that says, "Therefore with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name." The worship of the church is always, the eyes of the church are always fixed on Christ, who has purchased our salvation full and free for each one of us. And those who are in the throng in heaven, as well as those who are in the throng on earth, well realize how undeserving we are to be in His presence. And so wherever that Lamb is to be found here in the world, through His word and sacrament, there you will find His followers gathered, singing His praises. One of our missionaries that served in Ukraine a number of years ago came back with a great story one year that I loved. He said that there was an elderly shut-in woman that he would go to visit frequently. And one time he had just finished giving her the Holy Supper of our Lord. And at the end he had this little plastic communion cup that he was going to throw away. And she said, "Do you mind if I have that?" And he said, "Well, okay, that's fine." And he gave it to her and she took a napkin and cleaned it out. And she said, "Let me show you something." And she took him over to her windowsill and pulled back the curtain. And there lined up on the windowsill were a whole bunch of these communion cups that were just sitting there. And he said, "Why do you keep those?" And she said, "Because they remind me of Jesus." The eyes of the church are always focused on the Lamb, who alone has purchased our entrance into heaven. Our Christian worship that we do together must always stay focused on Christ and the great grace that we have because of Him, celebrating the accomplishment of the work that He has already finished for us. That family from Cuba lived for over a year waiting for that joyous reunion when they could be together again. Right now, the two portions of Christ's family live separated from each other. One already in freedom, and one living here in the land of oppression. And yet we are united by the Lamb and our love for Him, and we look forward to the day when we will be put back together again in glory. While in this church militant in this life, let's make sure that we practice hard to join the choir that will be singing in the church triumphant. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise You for bringing us into Your kingdom of grace through the waters of baptism, making us Your own dear children through faith in Christ Jesus alone. We thank You for the marvelous grace that comforts us, that we have the certainty of heaven through Christ Jesus. And we pray that You would give us hearts of faith to continue to struggle in this life, in the church militant, as we look forward to the day when we will be reunited together in the mansions above. As all of us go our separate ways this summer, we pray that You would grant all of us a safe return to our homes and that You would keep us in Your safe and gracious care this summer. And help all of us to look forward to that day when we will once again be reunited around the Lamb and His throne. We ask it all in His saving name. Amen. We conclude with verses 3 and 4 of hymn 35.